Hello, this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And tonight, as you always know, this is my favorite day of the week. It's Tuesday. And Tuesday is my favorite day of the week. Why? Because I get to play with you. I get to be curious and engaged, and I get to invite amazing guests. And tonight we have a really amazing guest who I honor and respect at the highest to my show. And what kind of people do I have on my show? People who are living their life, going beyond potential, and it's ordinary people doing extraordinary things in what they love about their life. So tonight I have Maisha Walker, Message Media, on the show. And we're going to mash it up about all kinds of things. Who will know what we're going to talk about? It's going to be great. But anyway, before I get started, I just want to say that today was the most fantastic day, not of my life, because there's still more of life, but so far of my life. And so today I launched Lunch Lady. Lunch Lady, feed your brain and grow your business and your life. And it was phenomenal. I was moved, touched, and inspired today by the amount of people that showed up, the amount of people that gave love. There were people that I didn't even know that showed up. It was so fantastic. People said they found me through listservs, and people were talking about, and people shared, and it was just wonderful. It's just
fantastic.
You know, and what I learn more and more is that when you're a business person or you're creating something that is dear to your heart, you don't know who's in the background listening.
Right. That's right.
You don't know. I always say that people are listening, but you absolutely do not know who's listening, who's sharing you. And it's just like, you just got to keep doing what you're doing,
yeah.
Right? You just got to keep doing what you're doing. If you're passionate about it, everything that you desire will show up.
Yeah.
I truly believe that. It will show up. You want money? It'll show up. You want love? It will show up. Whatever you want, it will show up. And so it was just a phenomenal day today. Also, a second thing that happened, I took the ferry from Wall Street all the way to Navy Yard.
Cool.
It's like two blocks away from my house.
That's so cool.
Oh my, it was like so, I was like a kid.
It's a great day for it.
Oh my God. I was like a kid in the candy store. I was like, oh my God, I'm taking the ferry. And like, I'm on the line. I'm going, oh my God, this is so exciting. And people were like, you should go upstairs. I said, no, we'll take it slow. So maybe tomorrow I will ride upstairs. Yes, I will ride.
Let the wind blow.
I know, in my hair, right? Well, at least try to hit my scalp. So hit the phone, microphone. So, yeah. So anyway, less about me and more about Maisha. Let's get the show started. So Maisha, thank you so much. I've been wanting to have you on the show for the longest time. And now you're finally here.
We're here together.
So grateful.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. So Maisha, tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? Where do you hail from?
Well, I grew up on Long Island,
mm-hmm.
In a tiny, tiny town called Uniondale. It's like one square mile.
Ooh.
It's a small town.
So everybody knows each other.
Everybody knows each other.
And you couldn't get away with anything.
Well, my life growing up was a little different because mm-hmm. I went to a school that was really far away. I didn't go to the local public schools. So yes, for my sister, my older sisters and brother, they couldn't hide anything because
right.
it's such a small town. But for me, everyone knew me through my family.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I got away with a lot because...
Because you went to a different school.
But I was a pretty good kid. So
right. I can't
really,
imagine you being
yeah,
a naughty child.
I didn't really
child.
Have much to get away with.
Right.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Uniondale
mm-hmm.
and like both parents.
Yep.
And yeah. any pets or anything like that?
I don't know why I want to... I had a beautiful French poodle named Jacques.
Okay.
Yes.
What happened to Jacques?
Jacques died
oh.
when I was away when I was 13.
Oh,
but
wow.
up until then, he got so much love.
Do you have any other pets?
No.
I don't know why I'm asking you about pets, but it's
know.
Really weird.
We've never
but
talked
I don't know.
About it before.
No, you know, just
I don't, but
we
I
had
love
Tipsy.
Pets. I love pets.
We had a cat called Tipsy.
Really?
Tipsy was not allowed
oh, I thought
in
you
my
were
room.
Telling us that you are Tipsy.
No, right? No. No, God, no. God, no. You don't want to see that. That's terrible. No, we had a cat called Tipsy.
That's a cute name.
And Tipsy was not allowed to go in my room.
Oh.
But you know where he went?
Where?
In my room.
All the time.
All the time.
Because cats always do what they're not supposed
right.
to do.
And he, I can see him now. He ripped up the corner of my carpet. Like new carpet laid down in the corner of the carpet where he got trapped in the room and heard me coming.
Oh, boy.
And was like digging up the carpet to get out. Because I was like, get out. Anyway, let's do that. So you are a digital marketer.
That's right.
So tell me, how long, I know you said that you've been doing digital marketing or marketing or working on the computers and writing code since you were knee high to a grasshopper.
Yeah. So I wasn't doing digital marketing back then because it didn't exist yet.
Right.
No one would have known that it was going to. So, but I got my first computer when I was 9.
Oh, nice.
Because I wanted to
code. That's kind of rare, huh?
Back then. It was pretty rare. So I started programming.
They were expensive.
Back then. Depended on what you got.
Okay.
My family was very frugal. Okay. So they found me one that was affordable. And they were very clever. Instead of getting me a monitor, a computer monitor, they got me a television.
Oh, okay.
And you could actually attach. Right. So it was a very big Christmas for me that year. And I started coding in a very, very basic programming language called BASIC.
Right.
So, yeah, that's how I got started. That's how I sort of cut my teeth in the coding
world. So that was 9. What did you create at 9?
So I was... This is so geeky. Do I really have to
say
this?
But you are geeky. Come on.
I know. So I, at 9 years old, well, things that would seem relatively normal for a 9-year old to be coding on a Commodore 128, I would write little study guides for myself. So you know how you do flashcards for taking quizzes and tests? So I thought it would be really fun to do my flashcards as programming. So I know. So I would write up the answers and then write myself the questions. And then I would go through and I would have to type in the right answer as a question popped up on the screen.
Right.
So I created my own little study guide. So that seems kind of normal-ish. The other thing I did was I harassed all the members of my family who are all older than me to let me design them budgets.
Okay. You mean like economical budgets?
Economic budgets on my computer.
Right.
And I coded these for them so that they could like plug in things and it would spit out what they were allowed to spend on different parts of their lives.
Uh-huh.
And they all just got so sick of me asking.
They just gave it to you.
To me. So yeah, even back then, I was really into finance and numbers and playing around not only with computers, but with math as well.
Oh my God.
I was a strange child.
Yeah, that is a strange child, but that's an amazing kid because I can imagine you being quiet for hours just upstairs.
Oh, yes.
You know, was it in your bedroom? Or
yes.
Was it so you were upstairs in the bedroom doing numbers.
With my little yellow frilly comforter on one side and my computer with me coding on the other side. Yeah.
So most kids today, they make games.
Yes.
Right.
Which I wanted to do, and I started learning how to do it, but this was the downside of not having a real monitor.
Right.
Back then, if you wanted to do pixel and create pixels and have the pixels move around, you had to have a proper monitor attached to it and not a television. Right. So my coding, you know, my foray into coding ended fairly quickly because I kind of learned all I could learn.
Right.
And then I left it and went back to it briefly in high school. And then left it again and went back to it after college, actually.
Wow. So, you know what? I am really disturbed because this segment went so fast. It went so fast. This is like unbelievable.
Oh.
So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talk Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Awesome women.
Yeah,
so we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And you know what? If I mess up your name tonight, this is going to be horrendous because I normally mess up people's last week.
You?
Yes, I do. And I always say if I mess up your name, video stopped.
Uh-oh. Our video stopped for a second.
Okay.
Well, while you're fixing that, I understand Debbie Karch is watching. So hi, Debbie. You can't see me waving, but I'm waving to you right now.
So, like I always mess up people's name. Last week, the girl's name was Goal, and I called her Mole.
But she liked it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's an awkward one, though.
So tell us. So you went to college. You went to an Ivy League school.
I did.
So that coding, you know, at 9 really worked because it formulated
sure
your brain.
Yeah, it formulated my brain. I don't think it had anything to do with me getting into college because I don't think I mentioned it. I might have mentioned it on my college application.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember. That was a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I went to Princeton, which was a fantastic experience. I mean, people that I know have very mixed. Well, I should say I have a mixed audience of people. Some of them loved it and some of them really just it never really. Princeton didn't click for them. Well, I think part of what was also unusual about my childhood was I was saying I didn't go to a public school in my neighborhood. I went to a private school way out in a town called Locust Valley.
I've heard of Locust Valley.
Yeah, it's a beautiful town.
Right.
Very posh.
Okay.
And the school was really small. It was sort of the perfect precursor to Princeton, that sort of liberal arts education. We had a huge campus. The school went from pre-K all the way to 12th grade.
Oh,
I was there from second grade until I graduated.
Wow.
So you really
built family.
I did. And I think it really prepared me for the experience that Princeton was.
Right.
And not just as an Ivy League, but uniquely Princeton,
right,
which is this very, it's a relatively small school. There's only 1,400 kids in each class. It doesn't have any professional schools.
Right.
So it's this very sort of small community on a big, beautiful campus,
right,
which is exactly how I'd spent the previous
right.
10 or 11 years. So it just made sense for me.
Cool. And what did you study?
I was a French and Italian major.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me that. And you spoke French fluently.
I spoke French. I started learning French in second grade.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I spoke French really well for many years.
Right.
But that was a long time ago.
I did French in school for 4 years. And, you know, I can say a few things.
Yeah.
I can understand a lot. But I would never say I could speak French fluently.
Okay.
But I know if I had an immersion like 6 months, I'd come away speaking French.
Yeah. I mean, immersion is always amazing. And
right.
I lived in Paris for a summer
right.
when I was right after I think it was my sophomore year in college. It was an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
I love Paris.
So you leave Princeton. Do you have a corporate background? Do you have any of that kind of stuff?
Yes, now I do. I didn't then.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's not true. I had a summer internship at this insurance company that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
But that was amazing. And then when I left Princeton, So this was back in the day before you could find jobs online,
right?
Didn't exist.
I
graduated
was a recruiter.
In 94. So back then, online job postings didn't exist. So if anyone who was in New York at that time will remember, the Sunday Times
yes.
had a job section.
Yes.
And you would go to the front cover of the job section. It would have all the job postings
yes.
on the front page.
Can you believe that?
Of the newspaper. And it was huge.
Right.
And so I would scan through there and look for interesting things. I ended up getting a job as a secretary.
I was a secretary.
For an investment management firm called Neuberger & Berman.
No,
which still exists.
It's downtown. I went by it the other day.
The funny thing is, a few years ago when I first got involved with NABO,
right.
we held an event there.
Right.
And it was like a coming home. You know, I'd come in there as this, you know, person right out of college, my first job, and to go back after all these years and be in such a different place was really kind of
so
an amazing
funny.
Experience.
I walked by there yesterday,
really,
actually. Yes,
so
I did.
So that you were walking past my life.
Right. So you, I was a secretary too. That's what I aspired to be, was a
really?
Secretary. I didn't know, no, didn't
like,
want anything else.
That is not an easy job.
No. It's a great
one
job.
Of the things that I realized in doing that, and I realized I didn't want to do it, but I realized it's not an easy job.
No.
I mean, the way the media portrays secretaries isn't particularly loving,
truth.
Which
no.
I think is not appropriate.
No.
Because after doing that job,
yep.
I always respect everybody, but I have that much more respect for secretaries.
Oh my God.
Especially ones who are good at it.
Let me tell you, secretaries have so much power. It's
well,
ridiculous
that
how
too.
Much power they have. They have
too.
The power for you to see the person that you want to see.
Yes.
They know what's going on in the company.
Yes.
They have really, if you have a really good boss, he's amazing and he will know everything there is to know because
yes.
you know it and
yes.
you pass it on. But so, okay, so you did that. So when did you, so you have your own business,
yes.
Message Medium.
Message Medium. It's a digital marketing agency.
Right.
So after working at Neuberger and Berman, I left and got a job at a magazine publishing company
mm-hmm.
that also no longer exists.
Okay.
They got bought out, but they used to own 17 Magazine
okay.
and Car and Driver and all these crazy micro publications like
right.
Pig World.
Right.
Pig
well,
World.
Pig,
yes.
P-I-G.
We had P-I-G. We had like 20 or 30 publications like that.
Uh-huh.
And so I actually got fired from that job.
Well, you have to get fired at least
once. You
got to
get fired at least
life.
Once, right? And I'm sort of proud of that because I felt like I didn't actually get fired for a very good reason. So
uh-huh.
even back then, it was when I first discovered spreadsheets.
Okay.
And back then, again, for all
like
us old heads,
because I know you like some spreadsheets.
I loved it. I loved it. So for all the old heads in the audience, we were using Lotus.
Right.
Lotus
123.
Nobody
one,
was
two,
using
three.
Excel back then.
No.
So I learned how to get on spreadsheets with Lotus and I was in heaven.
Okay.
And what I was doing on this job, it was our job. So anyone who remembers, you know, when you get a magazine and they have those cards that fall out of the magazine?
Yes, yes.
To try to get you to subscribe.
Yes.
So my job was basically to hire designers and copywriters to create those cards
uh-huh.
and to also hire the same people who would do the, you know, the renewal and billing letters that
mm-hmm.
you would get in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole art and science to
right.
designing renewal letters and envelopes to try to get you to open them and actually pay your bill.
Right.
So we hired all the designers and the copywriters, and then we also were responsible for managing the actual printed inventory
uh-huh.
so that when the printer was going to send those out to people, they had enough inventory to send
right.
it to everybody.
Right.
So we managed that in a spreadsheet. But it was like hard numbers. It was hard-coded, no formulas.
Right.
And I was like, this is a travesty. We need to improve this process.
This is you.
So this is who I am,
yes.
right? You know me. This
yes.
is who I am. So I went in and I created all these formulas and you could like plug in a number here and it would spit out an answer over there. It was genius.
Look at you.
Except it was broken.
Okay.
It didn't work properly,
uh-huh.
which I didn't realize at the time. And so we had one like renewal date when the printer contacted us and said, we don't have enough
right.
of this particular thing. We
right.
can't send it out.
Right.
And I got in so much trouble for that. And then I got fired.
Right.
Basically for that.
Mm.
Which looking back now, as someone who manages people,
right.
Really, I would have been very excited that someone was trying to do this. I
right.
would have been upset that the letters didn't go out. But I would have said, oh my gosh, look at all this great, look
work.
At this great thing you're doing to try to improve our process. That's
right.
fabulous.
Right.
Let's work together to make sure that it's correct and accurate and fix your formulas. But this is great.
No.
I wouldn't have fired the person.
A lot of people only see what's in front of their faces.
Yes.
They can't work forward. I was just having a conversation with our Gabby yesterday about a company that I worked at, which will remain nameless, but they did bubble bath and bath oils and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in the store, they had these hair sticks, which were $25 and up. The bubble bath was like $5.
Okay.
The hair sticks were $25 and up. And I fell in love with the hair sticks. So everybody that came into the store, I would put the hair sticks in. They'd go, oh my God, this is so great. I can move my hair and it doesn't fall out.
Fun.
And they'd buy the hair sticks. And she told me to stop selling them. Stop it. You're not supposed to sell those. You're
Why?
Supposed to sell the bubble bath. because I don't know, she's an owner of a store. My thing was like $25, $5.
Right. You would assume there was a higher profit margin on the hair sticks at the higher price.
She was like, no, she wanted me. It's very strange. People have, people are stuck in certain ideas.
Sometimes, yeah.
And they want to keep it that way. Yes. So, you know, you do the best that you can and you leave the rest
alone. And
then
you leave.
Absolutely.
And then you move on.
But being fired, I think everybody has to be fired
at least once
in their lifetime. Yeah. You know, it's happened to me and, you know, I didn't die. Right.
Well, the good thing about this experience was I knew that this wasn't the right place for me. So even though I was enjoying the work, my boss was, she was very young. She was only a year or two older than me. Mm-hmm. And she'd never managed anyone before. So I give her, you know, as an older person now, I can look back and see she really didn't know what she was doing.
Right. She's doing what she was supposed to do.
We forgive you. If she ever watches this video, I forgive you. But so I was planning on leaving anyway, actually. I had this grand plan that I was going to save up my money, which is kind of laughable because I was making like $20,000 a year at the time. I barely could afford to get back and forth to Long Island where I was living and like pay for lunch. But I was going to save my money and I wanted to go on a cross-country train trip.
Right.
I had this very romantic idea of what it would be like to travel cross-country on Amtrak.
Right. Oh, that sounds fun.
Doesn't that sound fabulous? So I had this plan and 3 months I was going to quit. And so I got fired before that could happen. And so, and this is relevant to the story about like, tell me about you. I went and got a temp job. I went to a temp agency and, you know, they put you through all these exams and you take all these tests. And so they ended up placing me at banks, like investment banks. And so I would walk into these investment banks in my little power suit.
Dressed for success.
And I would have my GMAT study book, because at the time I was studying for the GMAT. I would have my copy of The Economist magazine, which was a habit I'd picked up at Princeton. And I would like randomly translate things into French. And they would just be like, who are you? What are you doing here? It was really kind of funny. So eventually I ended up, first of all, I made way more money temping than I did at this magazine. So I went on my train trip. And then I ended up working for an internet startup that I had met while I was temping. And then I ended up getting a full-time job at Morgan Stanley because I temped there.
That's so funny because when I first came here, I temped at Morgan Stanley.
Oh, that's right.
In communications.
Oh,
and they wanted
right.
me to have a permanent job, but like I didn't want to be stuck.
Oh, no, I was all over it.
Yeah.
I got a job as an analyst, which is kind of what I had wanted to do when I graduated from college, but I realized that too late. I'd never even heard of investment banking when I graduated. So, yeah, I ended up working for this VP who had not yet become a managing director, and I got this job as an analyst and then crunched numbers again for another 3 years, and I loved it. Loved it.
You're the only person I know that likes numbers. But you know what? When we come back, we're going to talk about that because you really made a difference in my life about numbers.
Oh,
we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I am with Maisha, the goddess Walker. So go ahead. So you went on a trip. You went on the train trip.
So I went on my cross-country train trip.
You came back. You temped.
It was awesome.
And then you got...
Amtrak wasn't nearly as glamorous as I thought it would be, but it was still a lot of fun.
Express or something?
I did. I was young. What did I know? Come on. You know, I was imagining the beautiful dining cars with the white tablecloths.
You're watching too many romance novels.
Oh, totally. Too many old movies. I love old movies.
Right.
So anyway, but it was still a great, great, great experience. Okay. And I like went to see friends and went to places I'd never been, but it was fantastic.
Awesome.
So came back. Started my job as an analyst at Morgan Stanley, which was like exactly what I wanted to be doing. Crunched more numbers. And then worked there for 3 years. And right at the beginning of the... So anyone who knows about these analyst programs at investment banks, I wasn't exactly in an analyst program, but it still sort of operated in the same way.
Right.
And most of them, you know, you work there for 2 to 3 years, and then usually you leave that group and go mm-hmm. somewhere else. That's right. Just how it works. Mm-hmm. Either that or you're angling to like become your boss and become your boss's boss.
Right.
So in my 2.5 years... At my about 2.5 year, no, at about my 2 year mark, I started looking around at what I wanted to do next. And I realized I didn't want my boss's job right. or her boss's job or her boss's job. Right. And so I really didn't see a place for myself, which is crazy now because Morgan Stanley at the time had, I think, like 11,000 employees right. all over the world.
Right.
I'm sure if I thought a little harder, I probably could have found someplace.
Right.
But I just didn't see a place for myself there. So I realized that, oh, I had started coding again mm-hmm. at this point. Morgan Stanley had given away all these old computers and I brought one home.
Right.
And then I started coding in another language called Perl.
Okay.
Which anyone listening who knows anything about programming is probably cringing right now. Nobody uses Perl anymore, but it was the precursor to PHP, which is right. a language that mm-hmm. most websites are built in some way mm-hmm. Using right now. Like WordPress is built using mm-hmm. PHP. So I started building all these big, fancy, database-driven websites with all kinds of fancy tools on them. And I realized this is what I want to be doing. I mm-hmm. want to be doing more coding. I want to be working in this internet industry. Because right. nobody called it digital back then. It was just right. internet marketing.
Internet
marketing.
And internet was like AOL.
Exactly.
You have mail.
And CompuServe.
No, it's CompuServe.
So, and dial-up modems. Oh, the crazy sounds,
buffering
right?
and buffering.
Exactly. Sounds like Godzilla.
But you know what? It was fast.
It was fast for us.
Because we didn't know any better.
Exactly. So I started coding again. And then I realized, you know what, this is becoming an industry. And there was some rumors floating around that companies like the New York Times didn't have database-driven websites right. yet. And I knew how to program and code in data in MySQL, which is what everybody was using.
Right.
So I was going to quit my job at Morgan and become a full-time programmer, like right. a freelancer.
Right.
And I figured, oh, I could get a job working with a bunch of other really like well-educated programmers who would do this professionally. I could learn a lot about programming, and that right. was going to be my next move. So I ended up, instead of that, getting hired by these two Princeton guys mm-hmm. To help them. They owned an insurance company and were looking for ways to leverage the internet mm-hmm. to work with their customers and their products. Like right. this whole new internet thing, how are we going to change our business to take advantage of this?
Right.
And so I ended up bringing on a consulting client instead of a programming client, basically. Right. I realized that I had additional skills that a lot of programmers don't have. Right. Like, I had a business background and I'm comfortable talking to people.
Right.
And like, I know a little bit about marketing.
Right.
So I ended up instead consulting, doing strategic work to help people understand how to leverage the web right. and other parts of the internet to grow their businesses.
Right.
So that was the beginning. I was freelancing for about 5 years.
Right.
And then after that, I started my agency.
And what did you learn and what did you see about yourself as you went along this journey?
Oh, so many things.
Mm-hmm. What's one
thing? The first thing that comes
that
to mind
that's with you today
is kind of a bad thing that I learned about myself that thankfully I learned it and it's become, I think, a good thing.
Uh-huh.
I suppose I'm not always the best judge of this, but you'll know what I mean when I explain. So I was a terrible manager.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
I think I was, I don't think I was as respectful of people's time.
Right.
I think I was a little too egocentric.
Right.
You? Yeah, yeah, I can own it. Okay. And I, over time, read a lot about it. And
but she reads a lot
more.
About
I
everything.
Read a lot. I read a lot. And I thought a lot about how I wanted to be treated and some of the bad experiences that I'd had. And I just learned. I learned how to be a much better manager. Right. And I learned what kind. I've thought a lot about what kind of manager I want to be.
Right. And what kind of manager would you say you are? Because I pretty much can answer that question.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what kind of manager would you say you
are? So I definitely believe in this idea of servant leadership.
Okay.
Which is the idea that leadership is not about you being the leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's about you helping other people lead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically my philosophy.
I would say that that's the kind of leader you are. I would say that because I've had experience with you, you see people's vision and you're able to help them to manifest it.
That's right? Exactly it.
And I think that's what's good about you. Some people might not like that. Right. Some people might feel that you're supposed to be waving the stick and that doesn't work, especially for a person like me. I like the constant communication.
Yeah.
I like the follow up, the follow through. And I like to be able to say, hey, this is what I've done. What's your thoughts on it? Do you see any areas where we can make an improvement or anything that's missing? And I think that's for me, that is perfect.
Yeah.
Because I would say a lot of people cannot operate under the guise of somebody like pointing a stick and telling me what to do.
I mean, it's just no fun.
No, it's not fun. It's not fun.
It's not
and
fun.
I think that you can see a 360. Like you can go up and look down and see the whole picture, which most people can't.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so for me, I have a great amount of respect for you in that way. I think it's amazing because you really, you know, we served on the board of NABO and you really had me honed my skills. And I'll say this because I worked by myself for a good amount of years and hadn't really worked with people, only my clients. So working together with people.
In a team.
A team was kind of like foreign for me.
Yeah.
And so to come together with you and work as a team, I really got to see that I am a team player. I love team. And that's how I thrive. And people blossom in that way. And I think it's really awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, you have fulfilled on your mission of being a good leader.
Thank you very much. Well, you know, the funny thing about that NABO experience, one of the reasons that I decided to accept the role was that I felt like I had learned a lot over the years of running my business. And so it was an opportunity to really see if I'd learned as much as I thought I had.
Right.
So thank you for helping me.
You really, I mean, seriously, so the thing that I know about you is that you're great. Like you're really great. You know how, but you're an introvert. You're like, you're that number cruncher. You know, you'd be that person in the corner crunching out the numbers.
Quite happily.
Creating the strategy, sharing it. But when you're called to speak and make that presentation in public, you rock it.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, not like you're introvert and then you stay introvert. No, you're introvert and you know what you're talking about.
I have my moments.
Yes. And it's really great. So yeah, you've made a difference. So now you've stepped down as the president of NABO. Something went in my eye.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Right. You stepped down as the president of
the
NABO.
The end of June.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have to do a term, but what's next for you?
Oh, boy. So NABO was a tremendous amount of work.
Right.
I mean, it was absolutely worth it. I got to meet amazing people like you.
Right.
I got to learn so much about myself and see really the growth in my personal development and my career. So I now am really focused on my business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also run another organization that you know about called the Black Ivy Alumni League.
Right.
And I run that as a volunteer, the same way that I did with NABO. And that is an organization for all the Black alumni from the 8 Ivy League schools.
Right.
So we do various professional development events, cultural events, mentoring programs, and community service programs. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of that group as well.
Right.
We have a big event. So we partnered with you on your Lunch Lady event
today. Yes, I did. And it was awesome.
Which was great. And then we have a big, we support, there's a American icon called the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater.
Okay.
They come through New York once a year to do all of their shows at New York City Center.
Right.
So we buy a huge batch of tickets, and we do a reception at the theater. We do this fantastic event around the holidays.
I'm coming.
December 7th. The tickets are already on sale, and I just love that event. So we do that every year.
I'm sorry, something went in my eye.
Uh-oh.
And this is live TV, and I'm not Oprah. I can't cut and have some take it out and then come back.
No. Do you want me to look?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I can feel it. Okay. It's like a bit of dust or something.
I'll just keep talking.
Go keep talking. I will be soothed.
I will keep talking. So I'm very proud of that, and I'm obviously spending a little bit more time on that now.
Right.
But my happy place is spending more time now on my actual business.
Right.
And so one of the really big things that I'm excited about with my business is, as you may or may not know, I've actually been teaching digital marketing topics.
Oh, yes, I do know.
For like 15 years.
And I've actually heard that I know somebody that's actually doing one of your workshops.
They actually
love it.
And is it Christiane?
Yes.
I just saw Christiane.
She's very, very excited, and she's very, very happy to participate.
Yes. So I'm doing a series in partnership with SCORE right now, live in New York City.
Right.
But the thing I'm especially excited about is I also have finally launched the online versions of my classes.
Oh, good.
Yes. So I've done 3 of them so far online now. And they're real time. They're live, but they're online. And so I've done 3 so far. And I'm doing my 4th one starting October 23rd, I think the date is, on social media advertising. So
how do you like doing the online stuff?
I love it. I had a quintessential 21st century moment.
Right.
In June, it was just a crazy month. I was in and out of traveling back to back for like 3 weeks in and out of New York City. My nephew was graduating from high school, so I flew down for that. I had I'm not going to say what number, my college reunion.
150.
A very big college reunion.
150.
So it was a really big deal.
Right.
And like all these people I knew were going back
who
had never been back before.
What was that
like? It was amazing. It was so fun. Totally overwhelming.
Right.
Actually, as a little side note, and then I'll get back to the other thing, there's an interesting statistic that, so Princeton goes all out for its reunions.
Right.
And there's a statistic that it is the event where the greatest amount of alcohol is consumed, surpassed only by the Indy 500.
Ouch.
Princeton reunions, people.
And how many,
Who would have guessed? Thousands of people come back. Thousands. The entire campus is transformed into these spaces with tents. They hire live bands. We've had Pat Benatar, Prince, John Bon Jovi. It is totally nuts, but it's so much fun.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe one year you'll have to come with me.
Oh, yes. I would love to.
It's a lot of fun. And it's a beautiful campus.
Right.
So,
So
I went to do that. And I was also at NABO's Advocacy Day, where we go to Capitol Hill and we meet with administration from the government. So all of that was happening. And in the middle of that, I had one of my online classes.
Right.
So I was in North Carolina, about to go to my nephew's graduation. 11 a.m. rolled around. I'm in the hotel room. I got everything set up. And I literally taught my class from my hotel room in North Carolina.
Isn't that great?
I felt so cool doing that. Yes.
It is the greatest.
It was so satisfying.
Let me tell you, it's like when I decided that I wanted to be a life coach, I was like, you know, I had this vision. I want to work for my apartment. And then as things go, I want to be able to take my computer and a few books.
And be a digital nomad.
And just go wherever
right?
I wanted to go.
Yes.
So I would go home for 4 months at a time.
Yeah.
Right. And just do everything from the computer. And this last time I went home, I did, I have a workshop that I was in 10 tips. I did the 10 tips workshop.
I know about the 10 tips.
Right from my computer.
Love it.
And it's just absolutely wonderful. Do we need to take a break? So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And this is the last segment.
Oh, this is so much fun.
So finish up that. Then I have to ask you about, what is it? Ask about the dinner check at Palindrome.
Debbie is going to get me in so much trouble. Thank you, Debbie.
Okay.
All right. So what was I telling you?
I don't know. I can't remember.
So I was, I think I finished it.
Yes.
So I basically was just having this moment where I felt very jet set in 21st century because I got to teach my class from my hotel room while I'm going to support my nephew graduating from
high school. That's what it's all about.
It felt really good.
It's about managing yourself and doing the things that you love and being able. That's why we have computers.
Yes.
And this is just a taste of
internet.
Technology.
That's why the internet's so great.
It's just
one of
the tastes. Yes. Of technology, of what's, I can't wait for us to have holograms where we can hologram into somebody's apartment and teach a class right there.
That's going to be super cool. It's almost there. They
I know.
Now hologram concerts, right? With people who've passed away and they're trying to use holograms. I know that creeps me out a little bit, but that's a whole other conversation.
Tell me about the palindrome.
So the palindrome. So I have a good friend from Princeton. His name is Otis. So Otis, if you see this, I'm calling you out on this because you're the reason why I do this. He was a math major.
Right.
So I went out to dinner with Otis once, and when they brought the check, I saw Otis, you know, looking at the check, figuring, I'm like, you're a math major, Otis. Why is this taking you so long? And he was like, no. So here's the thing. When my friends and I in college, we go out to eat, we set up this challenge for each other. That I have now taken on.
Right.
So when you get the bill.
Did I meet Otis?
No, you didn't meet Otis. When we get the bill, you have to figure out the tip so that the total is a numerical palindrome.
Okay.
Yes, that's the reaction I always get. So, you know, a palindrome is a word that's spelled the same way forwards and backwards. So the idea of a numerical palindrome is it's the same number backwards and forwards. So 34, 43 or 56, 65.
Right.
So when you get the total before the tip, you have to figure out what the tip amount is so that the total is a numerical palindrome. And every once in a while, so I just did this with Debbie because every once in a while I see a bill come through. I'm like, oh, I'm like $1.30 away from being able to do this. It's going to be so easy. So I get very excited about that. numbers keep coming
Well, that's really great. It just makes my head hurt. It's like, can we just pay the bill?
No, trust me. It makes my head hurt too. But it's a good hurt.
Oh,
I feel like it's a, you know, it keeps your brain sharp.
No, well, that's
I don't force this on other people.
No.
Just
I got
to be
it.
Clear.
I got it.
I just
a game
do this
that you
to
play
myself.
With yourself.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So what else? So you're now teaching classes remotely. You can teach a class
anywhere. So I'm teaching
my
online classes. Yes. So my next one is on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram advertising.
Uh-huh.
And it's starting on October 23rd.
Uh-huh.
So I can plug it now, right? So
yes,
anyone who wants to learn more about it, obviously you can follow me on Facebook and I post about it there, or follow Message Medium on Facebook. You can also go to our website, messagemedium.com.
Right.
And you can email me, of course, as well, maisha@messagemedium.com.
Right.
I would be happy to tell you about the classes.
And she'll even teach you how to do a palindrome.
That's right. Oh, if you ask me nicely.
Maybe she'll actually send you your bill in the palindrome.
That's an even better idea. So yeah, I'm super excited. You had asked me what's next.
Right.
These classes are really, so I'm launching a whole series of them next year. We're going to do 6 classes, each on a different topic. So social media, social ads, building an e-commerce website, right, email marketing. So I'm very excited about that.
So, and you'll also be doing something for Lunch Lady, of course.
Of
because
course.
It goes without saying.
Of course.
So what's something that you would like, what's a question you'd like me to ask me that I can ask you?
Ooh, I think you've got the big ones. And Debbie sort of threw that palindrome one in there for me.
So what are you, like, what is it that you love? Like right now we're living in the year 2000, we're going into 2020, yeah, right? I mean, like really quick, hard and fast.
Yes.
What is it that you are looking to create for your life, you know, in 2020?
All right. So I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second.
Get on your soapbox, baby.
It's a nice soapbox though. As an entrepreneur, I think it took me a long time to realize, we're going to talk about money.
Mm-hmm. Good, my favorite subject.
We're going to talk about money. It took me a long time to realize that just being profitable as a business was not enough.
Right.
That there are a lot of things that you give up as an entrepreneur, right, that are sort of cushions for you when you work for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of benefits and retirement savings, mm-hmm, and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I recently have been thinking a lot more carefully about my own retirement,
right,
and what I want that to look like.
Right.
And I've always thought about it, but I'm really, as an entrepreneur, starting, mm-hmm, to think a lot more closely about the numbers.
Right.
And so
everything comes down to numbers. Right?
Everything comes down to numbers. And so this is a very mild soapbox, but I would really strongly encourage everybody to think about that. Not only what that number is, but here's what also did it for me. I have retirement savings, but, mm-hmm, I don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
And what made me realize I don't have enough was that essentially when you invest in the stock market, mm-hmm, which is what most people do with their retirement savings,
mm-hmm,
the assumption is that your money will double.
Right.
Unless you happen to like retire at the right at the beginning of a recession, your, right, money doubles approximately every 8 years.
Right.
If you're earning like a 5-7% return on your money in the market,
right,
the money doubles every 8 years. And I realized that for me, because I'm not that far from, right, retirement age, even if I double my money 2 or 3 times, it's not going to get me to the number I wanted.
Right.
That was a very easy way for me to realize that I was behind.
Right.
Right. So I have been very passionate about telling, especially my women friends, to really think about that. Take your money and double it every 8 years between now and when you want to retire.
Right.
And is that a good number for you? So if you have $10 and you're 40,
mm-hmm,
your money's going to double 3 times, right?
Right?
So that's going to be 10 times 10, which is 20, and then 20 times 20, which is
which is 400.
Actually, 10 times 10, which is 100.
Right.
And then 100 times 100, which is 1,000. I get bad with zeros.
Right.
And then 1,000 times 1,000, which is probably like 10,000 or 100,000 or something like that. That's not enough to retire,
right,
on. So you really need to make sure that you're thinking about what that double, double, double is going to look like.
Right.
And is that the number that you're going to be happy with?
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Yes, we all want to retire at some point, but do you really want to retire per se?
Well, here's the thing. This is not about actually retiring.
Yeah, I got that.
This is about being financially independent.
Right.
That's what I want.
So that's what you want. So because I asked that question because I don't really want to retire. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Yes, I do want to have a good income and,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. But
like, but I don't want to have to work after a certain age. I don't want to have to work now, to be honest with you,
yeah,
but I love what I do.
Yeah, and that's,
but it's nice for it to be a complete choice. So my goal,
right,
is financial independence as soon as I can.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's my soapbox.
Such a soapbox.
Double. Think
anything
about doubling.
Anything else that you want to double? What about love life and all those kind of things for 2020?
So I'm just open. I don't have any specific goals around that.
Right. You don't
just
have.
Just keeping things open.
Did you ever want children?
You know, yes. You see, I'm saying yes, and I'm squirming. I never really felt like I wanted them alone.
Right, right.
I find that idea incredibly intimidating.
Right.
I honestly don't know how people do it.
Right.
It's so much work. My little sister has a young child who I absolutely adore.
That's good for
but
her.
I watch them together. I mean, she's married. She has,
yes,
a husband. But I watch all of them, and he is just a bundle of energy.
Right.
All the time. And I watch them, and I'm like, How do you keep up?
Right.
How do you keep up?
It's not
amazing.
It's like, how do you take care of them? Like, because when they're not well, or when they're not well and things like that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just being in a kid's life.
Yes.
I mean, I never wanted children, but I've had many children in my life that I have had from zero to, you know. And I think it's important to have the experience. And I've always said that if I was going to be a mother, I would have had to have a husband because I wanted to spend time.
It's so much work.
I didn't want to have to go to work and then take care of the kids.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. I always assumed I'd have a nanny.
Well, you know, I wanted to be with my kids. We can have a nanny too, but I wanted to be with
them. But yeah, I also want like free time.
So Maisha, we've come to the end of the show, which literally felt like 10 minutes.
It did.
Went so quickly.
I'm so sad.
But I just want to say thank you so much for coming into my life.
You're
I'm
welcome.
All the more richer
thank you.
For having you in it.
Thank
right?
you.
You have really made a profound difference in my life, and I'm so proud. And thank you so much for standing for me. I got an award yesterday. Let me just show you. Thanks to this woman, I realized I didn't take it out of my bag. I have
Isn't
gotten
that beautiful?
This award yesterday, Board Member of the Year. For NABO NYC. Absolutely.
And she totally more than earned it.
Right. And I just want to say thank you for, because that was like, when I walked in and it was like a thunderous applause from people, I was like,
it was fantastic. I wish we had recorded that and put it on live.
But thank you so much. I love you so much. I think you're awesome.
I love you too.
And this is the end of the show, unfortunately. And I'll see you guys next week on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Yay. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.